Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Calm and Confident Leader. Are you there? No, seriously, are you there? Yeah, I know, you're technically there. But are you really there? Yeah, your body is there, but are you there? Hi, I'm Jason Stonehouse, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about being present. That's right. One of the top things that I hear from leaders all the time is that they want to know how to be present. Now, typically, this phenomena starts with someone important in the life of the leader. This important person says something like, "I feel like when we're together, you're not really here." Or, like, "I know you're here, but your mind seems to be elsewhere." Or, "When you're with the kids, you always have your phone or your laptop out. And they don't really feel like they can get close to you." You see, it's all about presence. And we're going to talk today about this topic of presence and how to be more present, especially in situations with people that are really important to you. And they are the last people that you want to send the message that you're not fully there, that you're not present with them. So here at the Calm and Confident Leader, we focus on helping leaders to build resilience, to beat anxiety, and to maximize their potential. But part of maximizing your potential is really understanding what is going on inside of you so that you're able to fully be engaged in the conversations and with the people that matter most. Now, sometimes this happens in the business, in a meeting that we might be in. Sometimes it happens in our homes. Sometimes it happens with our spouse. But the bottom line is we're not where we want to be. And this is a very common thing for leaders, because as leaders, we're always kind of living in the future. We're always thinking about what needs to happen and what I need to be doing now so that it will bring this result later. And so often, some of the things that may be most important get pushed out by the urgent. And so let's get into it. Presence. That's really what we're talking about. How do we bring our presence to the situations that we find ourselves in? Now, presence is a hard thing to quantify, but people know when it's missing. Let me say that again. Presence is a hard thing to quantify, but people know when it's missing. See, sometimes our brains take us out of situations that we're in because we don't feel confident or we don't feel competent in those situations. It may be that some of us are really great in the workplace. We're great on the floor. We're great in business meetings. But we don't feel very competent. We don't feel like we have the skills or the abilities to maybe be a good mom or a good dad or to be a good wife or a good husband. And those things they don't come as easy to us. And let's be honest, relationships are mysterious. They're not like creating widgets. We can't just do A plus B and we're going to get C as the result. Relationships have this huge level of mystery to them. And so because of that, so many of us feel like, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to bring skills into this situation. I don't have the skills." And so we tend to lean on things that we already feel competent or confident in. But even in the business world and even in our social lives, some of us have social anxiety. And so maybe we can stand up in front of a large group of people, but then we find ourselves nervous at a small dinner party. We don't know how to deal with that particular situation. There doesn't seem to be a script that we can follow. We have to think on our feet, and it becomes challenging for many of us. And let's be honest, being at home with our significant person and the kids doesn't bring the immediate payoff that we can sometimes feel when we make an important decision at work or we complete a task. And yet, any of us who have been in leadership for any length of time, we know how critical those interactions are. And if things are falling apart in our inner world or in our personal world, then we are not going to be doing business for very much longer, because it becomes this huge draw away. And then at the end of the day, we say, man, this is the thing that matters most to me, and I'm not getting to enjoy that. I'm not getting to be focused on that because of this lack of presence. All right, so I know you're saying, okay, Jason, I get it, but I need some help. I need to fix this. I need to get in a better place than the place I'm in right now. Well, hang on. We need to go just a little bit deeper before I share some tips that I think are going to make all the difference for you. And that is this: are you present to yourself? I know it sounds like a weird question to ask, but are you even present to yourself? I've had a number of occasions where I didn't even know where I was. Not physically, but emotionally, mentally. I was in the dark. I didn't know what I was feeling or why I was feeling it. I wasn't present to my own story. And if you don't pay attention to what's going on inside of you, and if you're not fully present to yourself, then you really don't have yourself to present to anyone else. Because if we don't know ourselves, then all that does is increase exponentially our own insecurities. Our own fears begin to come out. And so now I'm not in tune with who I am. I'm not in tune with what I'm facing. And so I'm not even able to offer that to you. And so this is obviously challenging, because for me to be able to share with others and make steps to be present with them, I've got to learn to be present to myself. So let's jump into some value-adding, critical steps to helping you be more present. You got something to write with? Three thoughts here that will be game changers for you when it comes to bringing more presence to the people that matter most to you. Number one is evaluate your inner status. Evaluate your inner status. We must start by being present to ourselves. And that means we have to grow in our self-awareness. Now, I'm not inviting you to gaze at your belly button or enter into some inner trance. I'm talking about doing the work to get more aware of what is happening inside of you. Now, if you and I were in one of our coaching relationships, I would walk you through a number of assessments, and I would give you a bunch of tools to help you strengthen this muscle. But for the sake of time here, let's start by just inviting you to pause long enough to think a little more deeply. I've shared this before on the podcast, but one of the things that I found that was incredibly helpful is when I have a 10, 15, 20 minute drive, instead of taking in another book, audiobook, or listening to music, I turn off some of the outside distractions and just process through what was happening this day and where I was, when I was present, when I was absent, when I was frustrated or annoyed by somebody at a meeting or by the length of a meeting or by something that a comment that somebody said or by the fact that somebody said nothing. But paying attention to how I was impacted, how I was affected by my own day, preferably on like a drive home, can begin to ground you in really understanding what's happening inside of yourself. And so we've got to evaluate the inner status. And that means we've got to think a little more deeply about what is going on. Now, many of us tend to settle for a handful of emotions. And that's not always the most helpful thing. Because assuming that you're only angry, happy, or bored doesn't really tell you much about yourself. We need to understand what is happening inside and why it's happening. What about that comment that person made bothered you? What did it trigger inside of you? See, the point is, when we show up in a place that we want to be more present in, we need to start by being present to ourselves and what we're experiencing and where we are as we approach this particular situation. Like, are we already showing up at this meeting tired, out of energy, already frustrated, annoyed? Well, if you try to spend time with somebody that really matters to you, and you're not aware that you are completely sapped of all your inner energy, your emotion, or if you have been pouring out all day long and now you're at home and you're like, I didn't do anything to regulate myself or bring myself to a place where I have anything to offer, well, of course you're not going to be present. You're going to be thinking about, how do I escape this place? And if I can't escape it physically, I'm going to look to escape it emotionally or mentally. And that's what tends to happen for some of us, is the times that some of our the people most important to us are getting of us, we're wanting to be somewhere else. And it's not really their fault, and it may not even really be your fault, but there is something you can do about it. And that is understand or evaluate where you are, what's going on for you on the inner self, and then begin to figure out what tools you need to replenish and stabilize what's happening internally so that you can show up with a little bit more to offer. So it's about evaluating. Well, let me say this in addition. Let's say you get past this first part. You've evaluated your inner status. You've got things together. You put some tools in place, or you've done some things to help replenish and stabilize and sustain you. Now you're in that meeting, or you're hanging out with your kids, or you're spending time with your important person in your life. Now what you've got to do is you have to be able to evaluate your inner status in real time. Now, as you're interacting with that person, or as you're interacting with your kids, or you're in that meeting, I guarantee you something in those interactions is going to affect you. So you have to be able to learn to identify what is happening inside of me, and then be able to regulate yourself while it's happening in real time. This is a really important skill, and I would even say it's an advanced level skill, and one that we are going to focus some significant time on in our coaching relationship if you and I get a chance to work together. But that's really what we need to do, is not only evaluate your inner status before that time that you want to be present, but be able to build the muscle so much so that you can evaluate your inner status in real time and make adjustments as you are impacted and affected by your time in that setting. All right, so number one, I know that was a really heavy one and it was a really deep one, but here's the second one. It's a little bit easier. Eliminate your potential distractions. So number one, if you want to be more present, evaluate your inner status. Get more in tune with who you are and what's going on. Number two, eliminate potential distractions. Eliminate potential distractions. I am amazed how many of us enter into situations where we want to be more present, and yet we set ourselves up for failure by all of the distractions that we avail ourselves of. Distractions, let's talk about them. Here's number one distraction. How much time are you allotting to this interaction? How much time are you allotting to it? If you don't allot enough time, it's a surefire way to sail. to fail. Like it would be like saying, all right, let's have quality time in the next 7 minutes. You just can't really do that. And I know some of us like to justify and explain, you know, my kids don't really need, you know, quantity of time. They just need quality of time. So 7 minutes is what I got. Here we go. Ready? Go. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't use those 7 minutes to maximize them as best you can. But if all you're giving the people that you say are most important to you is 7 minutes, then you are going to never be able to get more present. And you're going to find yourself with those people saying, I don't really care to spend time with that person anymore, because they can tell that they're not a priority to you. So the first distraction is the amount of time we allow to these interactions. Distraction number two is our devices. Now, there's a lot that's written about our devices, like a phone or an iPad or something like that. But I want to direct you to Catherine Price's amazing work. She has a great book called How to Break Up with Your Phone. Or she also has a newer book that I am just loving. It's called The Power of Fun. And part of her concept is this idea of fasting from your phone. And what she talks about is taking intentional time where you are going to not even have your phone on your person or near you. Now, I know some of you are like, you just had a panic attack when I said that, because you're like, I need my phone. I gotta have this device, right? And I'm with you. I'm scared to tell you how many times I pick my phone up and just check to see if anything new has happened or any new developments that I need to be aware of. And I'd like to think I'm maybe more important than I really am. But you've got to focus on the person that you want to be present with. And I'm sorry to tell you, but distractions such as your device is going to be a guaranteed way to set up for failure. And I will tell you this, if you mentally give yourself permission to check your phone in those moments, you will. So don't even give yourself permission. Just say, you know what, for the next half hour, for the next hour, I'm putting my phone off, I'm turning my phone off, I'm putting it in another room, whatever it might be, but I don't want to be distracted because this person is too important to me. It was really sad to me. I was out with one of my daughters, it was actually a couple years ago now, and we went to Wendy's for lunch, and I was sitting there with her, and for some weird reason that particular day, there was a bunch of other dads in Wendy's with their kids, and I couldn't find one dad who wasn't on his phone while he's trying to have lunch with his kid. Now, I don't know what the particular situations are in those particular situations with those people. And maybe, you know, they had it with the kid and maybe they were fully present and engaged in the life of their child for the last 4 hours. And this was their break, was lunchtime. But the reality is I looked around and said, is that me? Am I looking in a mirror right now? Am I the one who is doing the same thing that all of these other people are? No wonder why our kids are feeling like they don't really matter to us. Because we let distractions such as our phones keep us from sending a message that you are who I'm present with and you are who matters to me in this moment. So don't give yourself mental permission to even look at your phone, especially when you're working on building this muscle of being more present. Distraction number three is hunger. Hunger can really set you up to not be able to listen well. In the great book, Listen Like You Mean It, you'll discover a lot of helpful ways to be more present and to listen better. But one of the things that the author mentions is that walking into a situation when you're starving is setting yourself up for failure, because you're going to constantly be thinking about, when is this person going to be done talking, or when can we get past this thing, or when is this meeting going to get over? I'm starving right now. And then the last distraction is the distraction of your environment. Even when you place your body, even where you place your body in relation to the person that you're wanting to be more present with will help you, because you say, I'm going to position myself in a way that I'm not going to be distracted. That means if I'm at a sports bar and I'm having lunch with somebody that's important to me, is there a way that I can sit in such a way that I don't have a TV in my view sight? Or is there ways that I can find a table that's outside or something that I'm not going to be in a situation where I'm going to have distractions? Yes, having TV on in the background is an environmental distraction. Or being with somebody when you're very hot or it's a windy place can add to the distraction factor. So evaluate what's happening on the inner part of you, your inner status, and then eliminate potential distractions before getting into that situation. And then number three is to engage holistically. Engage holistically. Now, we've all found ourselves in places where we've done the right? You've done that nod. Somebody's talking, droning on, and you're like, right? It's this dismissive comment. Or we might be trying to multitask, which, by the way, scientists have now proven, or psychologists, I don't even know who studies this stuff, but somebody's proven that it's impossible to multitask. What they said is really the people who you might consider good at multitasking are just quickly switching from task to task, and they're able to do that very fast so that you almost seem like they're doing multiple things at the same time. But it's just not possible for your brain to focus on more than one thing at a time. And so this idea that I'm actually present with you when I'm doing three other things is just not possible. The idea here is if you want to be more present, that you need to engage with all of who you are. So let's start with your body posture. Where are your feet pointing? Are they pointing towards the door? Or are your feet pointing towards the person that you're wanting to be present with? Are you truly curious to try to understand the other person? How they think? Why they think that way? And what is truly important to them? One of the things that I was out with my daughters the other day, and we were having some dinner together, and my middle daughter had just been to a number of concerts. And so one of the things I asked her was, so how do you rate whether, you know, a band or a singer did a good concert or not? How do you determine what's your favorite concert versus a non-favorite concert? What are some of the key characteristics? And what I tried to really understand was I was very curious. Not so much that I wanted to know what a good concert was for myself, but I wanted to know her. I wanted to know what she determines as a good concert or a bad concert. I want to know what are the things that she looks for, because that helps me know a little bit better how she thinks. And side benefit, she feels like I care, that she matters to me, that I'm actually taking interest not just in the fact that, oh, she went to a concert, but what made that concert so good. So to engage holistically means I need to notice how often I'm really truly asking questions to get to know the person I'm with, and how often I'm just trying to get through the conversation. For example, notice how often you interrupt. How much space do you allow for the other person to be able to communicate? What if they pause? Are you immediately jumping in on that pause? Or are you letting that pause just sit there for a second and see if they have something else to say before jumping in with your brilliant comment that you want to add? How curious are you with that person? How open are you to honoring and respecting the other person and their viewpoints, even if they differ from your own viewpoints? Now, there is so much more that I could share on this topic, but let's review our three principles for learning how to be more present in the situations and with the people that matter most to you. Number one, evaluate your inner status. What's going on in the inner you before even showing up at this moment that you want to be present in? But then also being able to evaluate your inner status in real time while you're being impacted and affected by that other person. So number one, evaluate your inner status. Number two, eliminate potential distractions. Distractions such as how much time you're allowing, whether you have devices present, what your physical condition is, and the distractions of the environment can all be things that you can work on to make sure that you set yourself up for success rather than failure. And then number three, engage holistically. Don't just gauge with your words only. Look at the person, make eye contact, nod along with what they're saying, but not too quickly that they assume you're trying to get them done. Look at where your body is. Are you closed in or is your arms open? And are you showing a posture that says, hey, you're important to me, and what you're saying, I'm really open to hearing about. All right, engage holistically. Now, as I said, there's a lot that I can share on this topic. In fact, we have an entire module inside the Calm and Confident Leader devoted to building your presence at work and at home. And we share a tool that I've created called the Being Present Blueprint. And so if you're interested in that, you're going to be able to find out that some of that's being produced right now in some of our online courses, as well as in our one-on-one coaching relationships that we develop. This is such a critical topic, and it affects all of us on professional and personal levels. And I'll tell you, as someone who has dealt with this very issue for most of his life, it doesn't just get better just because you want it to get better. It requires intentional focus and work on the skill sets necessary to be present. But the great news I have for you today is that it's very doable. You don't have to settle for, well, this is just who I am, or this is just how I am, or I'm so busy, I can't fit it all in. I can't be present everywhere. Nope, you don't have to say those things. This is something that you and I can get a lot better at. And you and I can then become the calm and confident leaders that we're all made to be. Hey, if I can help you at all, I would love it if you would reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me in lots of different places, or shoot me an email. I'd love to be able to talk with you and see how I might be able to add value to you personally. And as I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we are in the process of building, and maybe by the time this releases, there will be some online courses that are coming out, as well as our book, The Calm and Confident Leader, is hoping to drop this fall. We're looking at a target date of the beginning of October, end of September. So be looking for The Calm and Confident Leader wherever you buy your books. And then the other thing I want to let you know about is the Calm. It's called calmconfidentleader.com. Calmconfidentleader.com is the name of our website, and that will constantly be updated with all kinds of things that might be helpful for you. And as always, if you found this particular episode or this podcast in general to be helpful, I would love it if you could leave a review on the podcast app that you're listening to this on, and that really helps us. And also, if you could just spread the word, let other people know about the podcast so that we can really spread our influence to people that this will be helpful for. All right, so as I always say, life is a process. Don't do it alone, and you and I are made to be calm and confident leaders. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again on our next episode.